We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
I cannot find any compatibility between the way this president conducts himself and anything that I find in Scripture.
Do the critics of religious conservatives understand the metaphysical worldview that religious conservatives live with? And I think they either do not or they are unwilling to learn. And so I think there's also a question of how many religious conservatives do you know?
Because they don't want boys to show their feelings. They want boys to show only feelings that make them weak.
Do not picture the joy of eternal life as static, as though it doesn't grow. Because throughout eternity, you get to grow in your union with Him.
Michigan snowbirds enjoy listening to Issues Etc. while surf fishing in Florida. Oh, gotta go, fish on.
There are all sorts of examples of this in the New Testament. Jesus, during His ministry, one of the main things that He encountered was demon possession. In Mark's gospel, it's almost as though everybody everywhere, even in the synagogues, are suffering from demon possession. It seems a very common thing. There in the New Testament, Jesus is casting out demons. He is battling these demonic and diabolical forces with the word of God. Is He casting demons out of believers? Is it possible for a Christian to be possessed by a devil? A lot of Christians believe, yes, not just possessed, but have all kinds of demons running around inside you that you don't even know about. Some of them maybe even dormant inside you. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about Kathy DeGraw and casting demons out of Christians. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites to play from you. One from Pastor Matt Harrison, The Comfort of Jesus' Temptation. Another from Dr. Anthony Esselin, responding to Boys Should Share Their Feelings. A third from Dr. Robert George, Why Porn Isn't Free Speech. And the last one from Pastor Will Whedon, How to Respond to Those Who Say Life is Good. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, sending us a tweet at issuesetc, an email talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait until we play and you can give us a call. That is 1-877-623-MYIE. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity to talk about Kathy McGraw and casting out demons from Christians, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into what DeGraw may have to say about this subject, is it possible for a Christian to be demon-possessed?
No, absolutely not. And I'll give you a biblical basis for this. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, Jesus talks about what happens when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person. So we'll talk about somebody who had been, for real, demonized, a demoniac. That when it comes out of a person, Jesus says in Matthew 12:43, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept and put in order. And then it brings with it seven other demons. And so note that when the demon returns, if it finds the house empty, things are kind of fair game. But for Christians, and this is an important thing because we Lutherans are accused of having a deficient pneumatology, and pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. But we affirm what Scripture says, and that is that all baptized penitent believers in Jesus Christ have the indwelling Holy Spirit. God has sent the Holy Spirit, and they are not empty. They are filled with the Spirit. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So every baptized penitent believer in Jesus Christ already has the Holy Spirit. So if they were a demoniac prior to their conversion, and after their conversion and baptism, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, which God promises, then if the demon were to return, it would not find an empty house. It would find that the Holy Spirit is there, and God the Holy Spirit doesn't share his temple with demons. There are no accounts in the epistles or the book of Acts of Christians having demons cast out of them.
Who is Kathy DeGraw?
Kathy DeGraw is a very, very well-known deliverance and inner healing minister, and I have to use the word really loosely. And she's written more than 100 articles for Charisma Magazine, and they are currently promoting her deliverance course at Charisma Magazine. She's kind of the in-house expert on the practice known as deliverance, which is a practice of casting demons out of Christians.
What are we going to hear from her?
All right. So soundbite number one, let me set this up. This is from her YouTube channel. And this is a common question that comes up from people who've allowed themselves to be ministered to using the practice of deliverance. And that is, well, I went through a deliverance ministry, and now, you know, months later, years later, I'm back to the same sins that I had before the deliverance ministry. What gives? Why is this not working? And so this is an entire video of hers designed to explain what the problem is. And so soundbite number one is going to be Kathy DeGraw setting up the issue. How come this technique doesn't seem to have a lasting effect?
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a few moments tonight and release a teaching to you that the Lord continually puts on my heart. But even in the last 24 hours, he's put on my heart again. And so I just really want to release that to you to empower that into you. And I really just pray that this teaching will bless you tonight of why perhaps you've had deliverance ministry, but you're still not set free. Because that's the common thing that I hear these days is I've had deliverance ministry, but I'm not set free. And so why is that? Why do we have deliverance ministry and we're not set free? I'm going to give you the keys tonight, and I'm going to give you the keys to how and achieve and receive that freedom. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were like, you know, I really need a deliverance session, and I've gone here and I've gone there, and I'm still not free. I'm still hanging on to that bondage. And they're like, you know, what is the deal? And why aren't I free? And I said, well, quick, tell me, how you've received ministry and where you've received ministry. And, you know, right away, it's like, that don't count. That don't count. Okay. So I'm like, just like wipe it clean. Let's start over. So why aren't you set free? So shout out if you've had deliverance ministry and you feel like you're not set free. So the key is we can't just do repentance, renunciation. You know, there's 8 hours that Henry Wright teaches. A lot of Restoring the Foundation and Sozo, a lot of the different healing ministries don't focus enough on deliverance, casting out the demon. And so they may do the inner healing. They may go to the root cause. They may try and help you work through unforgiveness and repentance. But let's look at the red letter words of the Bible. And the red letter words of the Bible said, Jesus said what? Go. And we say, go in Jesus' name. He said, get out and do not enter him anymore. He what? He cast out the deaf and dumb spirit. He rebuked the spirit and he gave it a follow-up command. He took authority. Rebuke means take authority. So he took authority over the demon.
Okay, Chris, what was she claiming there?
Well, she was not making a proper distinction there. And yes, it is true. Jesus cast out many demons. I mean, this was a frequent thing that occurred when Jesus showed up, and And sadly, there were people who were attending synagogue who also happened to be demon-possessed. This is, we don't have a problem affirming that, but what she was basically saying, the reason why people have gone through deliverance and it hasn't stuck is because, well, the other people who are offering deliverance haven't properly emphasized the need to cast demons out of Christians. And then she twisted, you know, one of the gospel texts and failed to make the proper distinction that Jesus never cast demons out of people who were Christians. In fact, anybody who Jesus cast demons out of, they were made and put back in their right mind. And that's generally how regeneration works. And so, you know, but again, you can never find a single instance of somebody who's a Christian, baptized, believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, who needed to have demons cast out of them. There's no such category in Scripture.
What's next from Kathy DeGraw?
Kathy now is going to try to explain to us how these other deliverance ministries are deficient in focusing in on exorcism, as she continues to make her point.
And in a lot of the healing ministries, we're not doing that. We're focusing on inner healing. What was your wound? Oh, show me that vision. Let's go back. Let's put Jesus in that situation. Was Jesus there? And, you know, sometimes we're implanting a memory that we shouldn't. And that borders on the line of, you know, New Age and witchcraft and stuff like that when we're trying to implant a memory. And so there's a lot of healing ministries out there that aren't doing healing the biblical way. Now, just because a ministry has deliverance in its name doesn't mean it's a deliverance ministry. I have preached at so many churches that have had deliverance in their name, and I'm like, you're not doing deliverance at all, and you don't even believe in deliverance. You know, deliverance is what? It's going, looking in our past, closing the door, but it's casting out demons. When Jesus was talking about deliverance, casting out demons. And so don't assume if you're going through, you know, the internet trying to find a deliverance ministry in your area, don't assume, friends, that, oh, they have deliverance in their church. They do deliverance. A lot of people don't even know what deliverance is. And there's a lot of ministries. We had one here locally that was doing deliverance for years. They were casting out demons. And then all of a sudden there's a big newspaper article and they're like, we're not casting out demons anymore. Well, why not? Jesus did, okay? And that's why we're not being set free. What you need to hear someone speak over your life, or what you need to be speaking over your own life, is spirit of rejection. Get out in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejection, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of control, leave me in Jesus' name. Jesus never said, stop hindering, get away, okay? He said, get out, get out.
So, Chris, I've noticed this with other people who talk about these demons mm-hmm. that allegedly afflict Christians, and they all kind of have names of characteristics, poverty, rejection, mm-hmm. doubt, all these things.
Right.
And it seems like they're playing fast and loose, or at least adding something to what the Bible tells us about the demonic.
Yeah, the best way I can put it is that the demonology that they've created in the encyclopedia of different demons, you know, from their experience in casting these demons out, is a very dubious one, because aside from characteristics, oftentimes the names of particular demons also happen to be the same names as the names of sins of the flesh that are listed for us in Scripture, like in Galatians 5. So, you know, so if you're struggling with coveting, all of a sudden you have a spirit of covetousness. If you're struggling with slander and not speaking the truth, now you have a slandering, lying spirit. If you are you know, angry towards your brother, you have a murderous spirit. And Scripture says that these are all sins of the flesh. And what's very fascinating here is that kind of the dirty secret as far as how the theology within the charismatic movements work is a denial of the ongoing original sin that we have. And in fact, it's so pronounced, this denial that Christians have any ongoing effects of original sin, that there's a book that was recently published by a prominent teacher at Bethel Church in Redding, California, Kevin Dedman. And in his book, he claims that the belief that we are sinners saved by grace, he says that that's Gnosticism. Instead, we are to rightly instead understand that we are saints saved by grace. And there's this weird thing that goes on. And all of that, really funny enough, is historically linked back into the old Wesleyan holiness preachers of the 19th and 20th centuries. There's an actual direct connection to these concepts in this theology.
So their teaching of either the perfectibility or of a perfect sanctification is actually kind of running on steroids with these charismatic teachers.
Right, exactly. So the idea here is that they believe that with the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as evidenced in speaking in tongues, that this has some kind of supernatural negating power over original sin within a believer. Therefore, when a believer starts struggling with or is tempted by and is ensnared in rank sin, automatically their theology rules out that this is some kind of an ongoing lingering effect of the fact that we still have a sinful nature. That's ruled out. So it can't be the believer who's at fault. This has to be the demonic that's in play. And so, you know, you'll note that repentance isn't enough in her way of thinking. In fact, repentance isn't even the solution, because the problem is that you have demons that are making you do it. It's, in fact, kind of the old Flip Wilson thing. It was the devil who made me do it. In their theology, that's really their position. And they have either a tacit or an explicit denial that that Christians still have original sin.
One more from Kathy DeGraw before we go to the break. What are we listening for?
All right. So in soundbite number three, she's going to introduce us to a new category of demon, and that would be the slumbering dormant demons, and I'll let her explain.
Now, let me tell you what's happening and why you're feeling freedom for a little while, but not forever. Okay? This is going to get good. You ready? So what happens is we go to those inner healing sessions, and inner healing and deliverance go hand in hand. So what happens, friends, is we're going to our inner healing session, and now we just like let loose of all these tears. Oh, we just had this all pivotal moment. Okay, I'm kind of mocking it. I know, but I'm just bold. All right, I'm not going to apologize for that. We just had this pivotal moment, and now we think we're free. So we go out, and we expect the world to be all brand new and peachy keen and everything like that. And then what happens is 6 weeks later, we're feeling depressed again. Or we're thinking about our problems again, or we got that demonic plague again. All right. You know what happened? That old, like, emotional pivotal moment you had, or maybe what that minister or counselor told you, it made you feel good for the moment. So you really didn't think about everything. But what happens in that time, watch this, okay? Because people don't teach about this. This is in my book, Discerning and Destroying the Works of Satan. You have to get it. It's on sale, guys. Only $13. It's usually $17. Only $13, guys. You'll never see it that cheap again. So what happens is these spirits go and they lie slumber and dormant. So the spirit of depression you had or rejection, what it does is it goes back down in and it just slumbers out there. So for that 6 weeks that you're feeling free, it's just like, oh yeah, enjoy your freedom. I'm going to come in your back door and I'm going to bust you and I'm going to attack you again. But you see, you're on cloud nine because you just had this big crying episode and you think you're being so great. Okay. But then what happens is your husband makes you mad or your boss fires you and now you're feeling rejection again. You're feeling depression again. And that slumbering demon just awakened. Okay. And he manifested again. And now what? When you cast it out, you don't fill it up. It comes back seven times worse. That is so, so true. But you didn't even cast it out. But because you poo-pooed it, it still intensifies it. And so we have to do the ministry that Jesus said, that Jesus, okay, called us to. And we have to cast the demon out.
Well, she's getting kind of repetitive, but I do see what you're saying here. She has totally confused the sinful flesh, yep, our own sin, with demons. We're really just the victim of demons, or maybe the victims of our inability to properly cleanse ourselves of demons.
Right, or we're victims of not fully developed understanding of how deliverance ministry works, and so we may have gone to a deliverance minister that's really not up to snuff. But what's missing here, is what happens at the beginning of every divine service for us, and that is a confession. In fact, I would argue that our confession of sins would offend deeply the great, you know, the major leaders of the charismatic Pentecostal movements, because our divine service after the invocation, we say words like this: I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean, that I have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and by what I've left undone. I haven't loved God with my whole heart. I haven't loved my neighbor as myself, and I deserve God's present and eternal punishment. And so that's radical teaching for them. In fact, for them, they would reject that outright, because to speak those words is to give power and authority to the devil, because you're not supposed to do things like that. But they would disagree vehemently that we as Christians still have an ongoing sinful nature that we have to contend with, that we have to mortify, that the Apostle Paul says we need to put off and put off the old man and put on the new. These are foreign concepts to them because their false theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and its in and what they claim its impact is makes them just sitting ducks for the sins of the flesh, and they have no biblical mechanism for properly dealing with it. So they turn to quacks and wingnuts and wackerdoodles like this who say, oh, I know how to fix the problem. I'll just cast demons out of you.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Rosebro today. Kathy DeGraw and Casting Demons Out of Christians. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. When your college-age child, grandchild, or godchild comes home for spring break, be sure to inform them about LCMSU. LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran students as they face countless challenges to their biblical worldview. Learn more at lcms.org/LCMSU. lcms.org/LCMSU. More from Kathy DeGraw next.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Moeller, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Ad Crucem has crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Luther's Daily Prayers, the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Liturgical Calendar, John 1 in Latin, and coming soon, the Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about Kathy DeGraw and her teaching of casting out demons from Christians. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Chris, one more from Kathy DeGraw.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be listening to her now, listing more demons, and so we can get a little fuller idea of her demonology, at least as far as the encyclopedia of different demons that can ail you.
So maybe you're an alcoholic, a drug addict, into pornography. Oh, pornography is a great one to use as an example. Okay, so what happens? You're addicted to these things, and then all of a sudden your behavior patterns stop. Okay, so you stop drinking, you stop smoking, you stop doing porn. But then what? 3 years later, you're drinking again, smoking again, and doing porn again. Why? Because you never cast the spirit of pornography out, masturbation, because pornography and masturbation go hand in hand. You didn't cast the spirit of lust out, perversion, a seducing spirit, a lying spirit, a mind-binding spirit. And so that's why people can't get free from pornography, is because you're not casting out all the demons that are, you know, associated with it. It's the same thing with alcohol or drug addiction. I want to do smoking because I can do that one really good. Okay. So cigarette smoking. So you give up your smokes. All right. But then what? You know, 5 years later, you start smoking again because something bad happened. Why? Because that slumbering demon, okay, that drew you, that seduced you into smoking, lay dormant because you never had the demon cast out. And then something bad happens, or you get upset, or you go to a party and you get, you know, awakened to smoking again. Why? Because with cigarette smoking, you have to cast out a spirit of smoking, an addiction, nicotine, tar, okay? You got to get all of the elements. And when we don't get all of the elements, okay, it's all we're doing is masking the problem for a little while.
Okay, so Chris.
Yeah.
I think you still have some kind of bad habit hanging around you. That's all I'm going to call it. It's not a demon, but I smoked when I was a young man. And if I believe Kathy DeGraw, I have to go to basically pick up a pack of cigarettes and look at all of the ingredients and the carcinogens in there, mm-hmm. for which there is a corresponding demon.
Correct.
And cast them all out. If I miss any, I'm doomed to become a smoker again, even after being rid of the stuff for the last 30 years.
Right. I mean, if you forgot to cast out the menthol spirit.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's really tricky, this demon warfare stuff, you know. But yeah, you get the idea here. And this is complete quackery. And let me read just a portion of Galatians 5. The Apostle Paul says, now the works of the flesh, notice what he says, the flesh, it says sarts, flesh, the works of the flesh, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. All right, so that's the list of the sins of the flesh, and you're going to note that some of these demons that she has mentioned here, and some of the sins that she's mentioned, these are sins of the flesh. The reason why we have these problems and we are tempted these ways is because our sinful flesh desires these things, and so we have to mortify our sinful flesh. Continually, daily, ask Christ to forgive us. Christ told us to pray on a daily basis. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Paul says to mortify our sinful flesh. How do we do that? Return to our baptisms. These are the concepts that are taught in Scripture, and it doesn't involve you having to subject yourself to somebody like Kathy DeGraw, who I would consider to be just about as effective as a psychic surgeon in the Philippines when it comes to fixing what's ailing you. This is nonsense. But again, this is all because of the underlying theology. What she's saying, as crazy as it is, the root of this is a denial that Christians still have a sinful nature that we have to contend with until either we die or Jesus returns in glory and resurrects us from the dead.
Okay, so then with 1 minute, make that case, connect that dot of this kind of very old teaching in American evangelicalism, denial of the sinful nature, to what we hear in Kathy DeGraw.
Okay, so you got to go way back. You can see beginnings of this with the manifestations of the theology that comes up from Spener's book, Pia Desideria, and the rise of pietism. You begin to see at that point people and pastors who are bucking against the idea that we have a sinful nature and that we cannot keep God's law perfectly in this lifetime. That then gets into the Zinzendorf movement, where John Wesley comes in contact, he and his brother come in contact with that, those concepts, and then he codifies it in the book that everybody really needs to read. It's called A Plain Account of Christian Perfection, where Wesley makes the claim that we Christians, we have at our disposal the ability to get to sinless perfectionism. That core doctrine gets wrapped up then in the holiness preachers and the revivalist preachers after Finney in the American frontier and in the American West, and that those holiness teachers, which you know, also founded the Nazarene Church, which I grew up in, those holiness teachers, many of them become the first Pentecostals. And so you just draw a direct line from today's modern-day Pentecostals. It goes straight back through the holiness movement, to Wesley, to Zinzendorf, and then back to Spener and the Pietists. It's the same denial, and that's where this all comes from.
Chris, what kind of demons will you be casting out on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
We're going to be talking about the history of Pietism and the role that this doctrine of perfectionism plays in the manifestations we see in the Charismatic movement.
Be sure to listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thanks.
We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with our listeners right after this break. On this Friday, February the 28th, we have four soundbites ready to play for you. We'll play them after this, and then we'll start taking your votes for Soundbite of the Week. We'll give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote.
If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.